This morning, I woke up really early, and even for me. I don't know, I just had read something that just really spoke to me, and it's out of Nehemiah chapter 8. It's verse 10. Nehemiah, Ezra has come. Ezra has rebuilt the temple. The Jews have been coming back from, exile. And Nehemiah builds the walls, and they're worshiping God, and they're weeping. They're weeping because as the law and the word is read, there is such a holiness about it and such a whole unholiness about them. And Nehemiah says to them, hey, this is not a day to grieve. He said, you go eat. You know, they're weeping. They heard the word of the law, and they go eat of the fat, drink of the sweet, and send portions to him who has nothing prepared, for this day is holy. Do not be grieved, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. The joy of the Lord is your strength. If there's no joy, if joy goes, if joy leaves, so does your strength. It's the joy that's your strength. It's Jesus who said this. He said, or it says of Jesus in Hebrews chapter 12, he says, for the joy set before him, he did what? He endured the cross. He endured the death. He endured the shame, the scripture says. For the joy, with joy there's strength. With joy there's ability. With joy, there is life. And what the enemy wants to do is come steal your joy so that you lose your strength. Think about it. Think about the weakest you've been in Christ. Was there any joy of the Lord? No, it wasn't. There was no joy of the Lord. Why do we think that James chapter 1 says to count it all joy when you fall into various trials and temptations, knowing that the trying of your faith produces what? Endurance. It produces strength. I think about the presence of God. Psalm chapter 16 verse 11 says, it says, you will make known to me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy, and at your right hand, pleasures forever. It's interesting that David, who wrote that psalm, also wrote Psalm 27, and he said this. He said, one thing that I'm asking of God, one thing, as king, as husband, as a man, as a dad, perhaps as a grandfather at that point, there's one thing I'm asking, that I will dwell with you all the days of my life. When you said, seek my face, my heart said, oh God, I will seek your face. Another word for face is translated presence. I will seek your presence. I believe with all my heart, first time I've ever thought about it this morning, was that when David fought Goliath, the joy of the Lord was his strength. He won with joy of what God had promised him. The joy of the Lord is your strength. And you can't have the fullness of God's joy if you neglect his presence, if you neglect his word, if you neglect the application of the word, if you neglect what God has been asking of you, what he's been asking of you to do. You can't experience the joy of the Lord. You won't have strength. The reason why we don't have strength is because there's no joy of the Lord. We're letting other stuff like circumstances and trials and temptations to control us. And there's no joy. There's no joy. I gotta ask you a question. I know sometimes the words of the songs we sing may not be familiar, but if I were to stand watching you, would there be joy coming out of your life singing these songs? Because if you can't be joyful here, you can't be joyful in public. I can't imagine what you're like at home. The joy of the Lord is your strength. You want strength? You look for the presence of God that brings joy, because the joy of the Lord is your strength to endure, to become all that he's asked you to become, all that he's designed for you to be in this life that we find in Scripture. The joy of the Lord is your strength. Second fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace. I want to ask you, where is your joy? What do you find your joy in? I'm telling you, your kids were joyful and happy whenever you open the gifts, whether it's Christmas Eve or Christmas morning. But I want to ask you, how joyful are they now? The joy of the Lord will get you through. I think about the children of Israel when the sons of Ammon in 2 Chronicles, chapter 20, I think it is, the sons of Ammon were coming, the Moab was coming, Mount Seir was coming, and they were walking in fear. They were walking in a desperate fear, and they came and they gathered together, and they were standing before the Lord, and the prophet Hazael stands up and says, "Hey, this is not your fight. It's not your battle. All you have to do is stand and watch me work." Now, the next morning, he's going to tell us where they're at, and we're going to gather together. And so the next morning, they gather together, and what does he do? He takes the worship teams, the worshipers, and he sets them before them. And it's really interesting to me, because when he says you don't have to fight, tomorrow just go down, God's going to give it to you. Do you know what they do? They're ecstatic with joy. Even though the horde's coming against them. Why? Because they heard the word. They experienced the presence of God, and they believed the word, and they believed in the presence of God, and they believed in the promises of God. And so when they get up the next morning and they start worshiping and they come to the battle line, guess what's happened? Mount Seir has turned on Moab, and Moab has turned on the sons of Ammon, and they go and they see nothing but corpse. They're all dead. They're all dead. And then the scripture says that they went, it took them 3 days, 3 days to get all the spoil. Do you know what the writers of the Old Testament talk about joy? They talk about when men divide the spoil, or when we harvest at harvest time. That's the kind of joy that God wants to sustain you with, so that you have the strength of God to move through any circumstance and any trial, to win the Goliath battle, to win the Mount Seir battle, and to go to the cross, to take up your cross and follow him and endure through whatever you have to endure. The joy of the Lord is your strength. That's what it is, folks. It's your strength. Listen to me. The joy of your marriage, the joy of the Lord in your marriage is your strength. The joy of the Lord in your marriage, if it escapes, so does the strength of your marriage. You hear me? You hear what I'm saying? If you stop in your marriage, in your relationship first with God, and then initiating God in your relationship, initiating the presence of God, you'll have the joy of the Lord, hands down. And the joy of the Lord will be your strength. But when the joy leaves, if it leaves, God forbid, your strength leaves too. Because the joy of the Lord is your strength. The Lord is your peace, your life, your presence. There's some of us in here that have a struggle with making Jesus, or putting Jesus as the centerpiece of our lives. Seeking him first, loving him most. I mean, it's an ongoing struggle, but believe me, I preach this. I preach this all the time, and I struggle with it. I fall short of it. And the thing is that I'm asking God in these days, is that we would be a church, men and women in our church, in our lives, in our marriages, wherever we are, in whatever age group we are, is that we would be people that finish strong. Because the Bible promises that. He who began a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Christ Jesus. It's the finished strong. I mentioned Dr. Gregory. I got to preach to him twice in class. And the second time was awful, I've got to tell you. The first time he gave me some good points, but do you know what he told me? He said, "Your finish was like an airplane circling the airport, trying to find a place to land." Years ago, I talked to him about it. He said, "Oh, that's every preacher." I wrote that to everybody. Why? Because it's hard. It's great to start, but it's hard to finish. Think about it. How'd you start your day? Did you start it in the Word? Did you start it in prayer? And you thought, oh, it's so great. And then by 2 o'clock, you're dead tired. You come home. What do? You give your life to the phone or to the television or to the app. And you fall asleep to it. Is that finishing strong? Unless the app is your Bible app. Can't finish strong in a day, let alone a week. What about in your projects that you do, the projects that you do, the things that you know you have to do? Do you finish strong? Will you finish strong in your faith? Or will you be like the huge amount of people that fall in their old age, that give up in their old age or their middle age? Or because of trial, or because of disappointment, because God didn't do what you thought He should do for you, that you just fell away. Why? Because you lost the joy of the main thing. If you keep the main thing, which I'm going to tell you, it's not missions. The main thing is not evangelism. It's not your gifts, because you can do evangelism and still go to hell. Many will say to me on that day, "Lord, Lord, we prophesied in your name, we cast out demons in your name, performed miracles in your name." And what does he say? "Depart from me, I never knew you." I never knew you. You who practice lawlessness. No, the main thing is him, his presence, his life. That's what discipleship is all about. Discipleship is learning how to hear God, how to walk with God, how to know God, how to have this intimate relationship with God. And if I'm saying these things and you don't have a clue of what I'm talking about, you need to find Jesus, or Jesus needs to find you. Because this is about a relationship. It's about a relationship. You can do ministry, you can teach Sunday school all your life and still be mean. Still be selfish. You can be a pastor who pastors for 40 years and still not have his family in order. Still doesn't get it. How do we sustain, folks? We sustain by the joy of the Lord. That's our strength, the joy of the Lord. And the only way to find the joy of the Lord is to spend time with this great God. The Bible says that the Word of God rejoices the heart. That's what the Word of God does. And the Word of God is central to your relationship with Jesus. If you just open it up on a Sunday, it's like eating one meal a week, which makes you weak. If you're not reading the Word and doing the Word, what God tells you to be, the Bible says that you are building your life upon sand, so that when the storm comes and the trial comes, you don't endure, but you fall. The joy of the Lord is your strength. The word strength in this particular passage of Scripture in Nehemiah actually means defense. When the joy leaves, the defense leaves. Oh, God's merciful. I mean, we just sang a wonderful song that His goodness, all my life, you've been faithful. You've been faithful even when the joy of the Lord wasn't my strength. But if you know what I'm talking about, if you understand your growth in Christ through the years, and you look back on those years that were absolutely, totally filled with ministry, filled with life, filled with glory, you know that the joy of the Lord was your strength. Where did you fall? Where did you stop? Are you stopping right now? You know, the greatest remedy to getting going again, I said this last week, is to realize what's the last thing God asked you to do that you haven't done. And you get up from this place and you go and you run to do what God's asked you to do. What you have heard Him, what you have heard Him, how you have heard Him, and the specifics of what God has spoken to you, you get up and you run to it. You run to it. The joy of the Lord is your strength. And if you don't have the joy of the Lord, you don't have strength. Because the joy of the Lord is your strength. I'm not talking about going through trials, spiking footballs, and looking for crowd noise. There's a certain kind of joy in your heart, a certain kind of joy in your life of what God's going to do because of this trial and because of this uncertainty. Why? Because the Word says it, first of all. And second is, if you've walked with God any amount of time, you know that's true. The joy of the Lord is your strength. The joy of the Lord in any area of your life as He is centerpiece in your life is your strength. It's your defense. And I'm telling you, in the Christian life, a great defense is a great offense. Whether it's the shield of faith, whether it's the breastplate of righteousness that guards your heart, or the helmet of salvation that guards your mind, or the shoes of peace that crushes the head of the enemy or brings good news to other people, who announces the joy of the Lord. That's what our missions is all about. If we think about going to Asia or to Greece or to Mexico, it's about declaring the good news of Jesus Christ, which is joy. And if you're not experiencing joy and you haven't experienced the joy of the Lord, please, let's get together. Let's move through some things that maybe you're neglecting. Maybe that there's just some sin in your life that you've not confessed to the Lord. Or again, there's something that you've not obeyed God for. The joy of the Lord is your strength. What is the measure of your joy today of the Lord? See, if you're walking around without the joy of the Lord, there could be a whole different kinds of things in your life going on. You could be walking in bitterness and anger over what somebody did or said to you years ago. And you've not dealt with it. You've not confessed it as sin, which is sin, because anger and bitterness, the Bible says if you hate your brother, you are a murderer. And a murderer does not have eternal life abiding in them. So there needs to be a confession. I've walked in this anger, I've walked in this bitterness, I've walked in this hatred, this stuff, and you know, sin. Because that's what God calls it. But it's really simple. It really, really is. It's just coming before God and making a point to say, God, I don't want to walk in this anymore. I've walked in this grumbling spirit towards whoever this was, and I've walked in anger, and I've walked in wrath, and I've walked in unforgiveness. And that's not Jesus. You've heard me say this when we do these series on bitterness and anger and unforgiveness. Have you ever seen a joyful, bitter person? Have you ever seen a bitter person that was full of joy? No, you haven't. It's an oxymoron. Bitterness and joy. And so what do? The remedy is we forgive. That's what we do. And if God has asked you to do that, the enemy will continue. If God's asked you to do that and you've not done it, the enemy will continue to rob you of your joy. I'm not saying it's easy, but God gives you the grace and empowers you to do the things that he asks you to do. The joy of the Lord is your strength. It's your defense. It's the defense of your life. It's the defense of your marriage. It's the defense as a father and a mother for your children. It's the defense of your household. It's the defense of your finances. It's the defense, just whatever you put your hand to. The joy of the Lord is your strength. And I want to ask you, church, are you joyful men and women, sons and daughters? The joy of the Lord, not the joy that you find when your kid excels in academics or athletics. Not talking about that. That fades, doesn't remain. I'm not talking about the cute things that they say that brings me joy. I mean, that's awesome. But it's not sustaining. The only thing that's sustainable in the thought of joy is the joy of the Lord. If you're a grumbler and complainer, you don't have the joy of the Lord. I'm sorry. You don't. If you have a critical spirit, you don't have the joy of the Lord. What defines you, folks, is the Spirit of God, walking by the Spirit, and watch this, seeing the fruit of the Spirit come out of your life, and the second fruit is the joy of the Lord. It's the joy of the Lord. Don't you want the joy of the Lord? I got to tell you, this morning, I'm so glad I got up early. So glad. The thing, again, that really stuck to me, there is no strength without the joy of the Lord. And the only way that you can have that is through a growing, vibrant relationship with Jesus, where he is centerpiece, where he's first. And guess what you've got to ask today? We're getting ready to do the Lord's Supper here. I mean, this is not in your notes today. But you're going to take bread, and you're going to say, Lord, your bread, your body and your blood did such a great work in my life that the Spirit of God's come into my life, and my wife or my husband is telling me that I've got joy like I never had before. I have love like he has love like he's never had before. Oh, where he was impatient, he's patient. Where he was unkind, he's kind. Where he was bad, he's good. Where he was harsh, where she was harsh, she's gentle. When I take this bread today, I'm saying to the Lord that you carried my sorrow so that I could have joy. That's Isaiah chapter 53. He carried your sorrows and your griefs on his body. And then he carried your sin. Now watch this. He carried it away. That's what he did. When I take this cup today, I take this cup today saying that the blood availed is so much for me that I know that I'm forgiven. I know that I'm released. I know that I'm free. I know that I'm overcoming, because that's what the blood of the Lamb does. The blood of the Lamb takes away your sins and destroys the works of the devil. And that's what I'm saying. I'm saying that about my life, about my lifestyle, about what I look like on Monday afternoon or Monday evening or Friday evening or Saturday evening. It's what I look like. A man whose sins are dealt with, a woman whose sorrows are dealt with. And I'm no longer walking defined by what someone did to me when I was younger, but I'm defined by what God has done in my life since I first partook through faith. That's what this Lord's Supper is about. It's about a covenant with God, the covenant that Jesus made. And I'm going to somehow get to the note that says this powerful passage of Scripture in Romans chapter 11, verse 26. I want you to see what he says. It's on the screen. It's in your notes. It's down. It's somewhere in the middle, probably. The deliverer will come from Zion, and he will remove ungodliness from Jacob. Now watch this, verse 27. And this is my covenant with him. Watch. When I take away their sins. The deliverer will come. They named him Jesus, deliverer. And he says the deliverer's going to come. He's going to come from Zion. He's going to come from Jerusalem. He's going to come from the mount. That's where he's going to come from. Calvary. He's going to remove the ungodliness from your life. That's the promise of the body and the blood, because he says, this is the covenant I'm making with them. And when Jesus lifts the cup, he says, this is my covenant of my blood. I'm making covenant with you. And this scripture should be just blaring, just like it is to the Romans from Paul, that the deliverer comes from Zion and he removes ungodliness from you. Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Amen. This is what we declare. This is what we believe. This is what we live. And I want to ask you, are you living this today? Are you ready to live it? Are you ready to lay down whatever you need to lay down? The deliverer will come from Zion. He will remove ungodliness from Jacob. And this is my covenant when I take away your sins. That ought to put so much joy in your heart, so much joy on your face, so much joy in your family, that you know that God has taken away your iniquity. When you come to this table, that's what you're proclaiming, by the way. That God did that. And I'm a living example of it. Paul says this. He says, this is so holy, this is so sacred, that you come to it in a manner worthy of the Lord. If you don't come in a manner worthy, and that means, this is what this means. You come to declare the Lord's death. This bread is his body, this cup is his blood. And it has done this work in me, and you come up and you take it and you go out and you keep living an ungodly, sinful life. I'm not talking perfect here. I'm talking, you know what I'm talking about if you've had any amount of time with us. And if you haven't, you hear me say it's not about perfection today, it's about direction. But let me tell you, that doesn't negate excellence in your Christian life. It's not some loophole to walk out of here and do what you want to do. Because if I do that, I have no joy and I have no strength. Because the joy of the Lord is our strength. Bible says this is the reason why people are sick. Because they come to the table in an unworthy manner. Why some sleep? There's no awakening happening in their lives. So they come in an unworthy manner. And I tell you, I would not be a faithful pastor to you if I didn't tell you about that. I got to tell you about it. That's why we want to come to the table fessed up before God with a godly sorrow to repent. And I'm telling you, I believe this with all my heart. When you do that, the joy of the Lord restores. You remember when David sins and he writes the psalm, Psalm 51, and he has sinned against his friend, he's killed his friend, he's taken his wife, he's committed adultery, he's done all these things, and the prophet comes to him and he has conviction, and he writes Psalm 51. And what does he say? Restore unto me the joy of my salvation. The joy of the Lord. And maybe that's just you today. That there's a conviction that says, I haven't walked in the joy of the Lord. I've walked in the grumblings of a human being, a man or a woman. I've walked in the critical spirit. I've walked in these things. I've walked in complaint. When I walk in complaint, you walk in complaint, there is no joy in that. It's just not. And you may be here today and you may say, I hope my husband is hearing this. Well, if you're saying that, wife, you need to hear this. Or vice versa. The joy of the Lord is your strength. We find it in the broken body of Jesus and the spilt blood. He dies in your place for you on Calvary so that you could have this growing relationship with him where you put the hand of the plow and you never look back. Why? Because you know what joy is. And you're going to do everything you can by the power that God's given to you and by the power of the Spirit to not lose the joy. Even when it's hard. Even when it's difficult. Is the joy of the Lord in you today? If it is, you have strength. You have everything you need to live this godly life. But maybe before you come to take this, you need to sit a little bit. You just need to sit a little bit and say, God, I'm more of a complainer than a joyful person. And I've been weak, not strong. But today, by the power of Jesus and by the power of the Holy Spirit, I'm repenting of that and confessing this to you, and I'm asking you to come take that junk away. And may I look more like you as I walk up to this table and take this bread and this cup with my family, because that is what he promised when he died for you, when he gave his body for you, when he gave his blood for you. The joy of the Lord is your strength. Listen, nothing else is. Nothing else is sustainable. It's just the joy of the Lord. I want you to bow with me in prayer, okay? In a moment, we're gonna say amen. And some of you will need, by the prompting of the Spirit, just to sit a little bit. Maybe you need to pray with your spouse, kids. I don't know. Maybe there needs to be a confession. Maybe you come here and you know what? God, you've settled some things and they're settled and you're following him and you're growing and there's just nothing really to repent of. I mean, you're not practicing the junk. In a moment when I say amen, if you're new to us, you probably want to watch and see what folks do, but we're going to get up and we're going to come to the table and you're going to get your elements and you'll either go back to your chair to take it with whoever you're with or sitting with. You might gather your family together on the sides, back. Take it together. If you're here and you're the head of the household, I suggest that you take that bread and you present it to your family and to those that are with you. And have some great joy in sharing with your family today. Because I'm telling you this with all my heart. You might be convicted right now, but if you repent, I'm going to tell you this, you will go out with joy today. That's what you'll do. You'll go out with joy because you know God's spoken to you and God's talked to you and God has convicted you, and you by his power are going to do something radically different. It's why they sang a hymn when they left. There's something about moving to this table in a godly sorrow and walking away from it with a godly joy. And I pray that Jesus will capture you with it today. And you walk out and you've never experienced it before, and you go, oh, that's what that meant. That's what this is. The joy of the Lord. The joy of the Lord is your strength. Father, I want to thank you for the body of Jesus and the blood that was spilled. I ask in your name that you would move in a mighty way amongst our people and our friends here today. Lord, I pray that we would walk out of this place victorious. Because the Bible says we overcome the enemy by the blood of the Lamb. And victorious living is a joyful living. Because God comes and moves and does this mighty work. And so I ask, Lord, that as families come up and as men come up and women come up and maybe couples and maybe somebody's here just alone. I just ask, Lord, that today would be so meaningful as they declare and proclaim the Lord's death today. Where there's death, Lord, there's resurrection. And I'm so grateful for that today. So I pray, Lord, if there's folks in here not experiencing the resurrected life, that they come to this table and they partake of this bread and this cup, believing with all their heart, and then, Father, may they find resurrection today from whatever's dead in their lives. Come, Lord, visit us, we pray, with the joy of the Lord. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.